and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report, salvage crews have recovered part of the fuselage of a passenger plane that plunged into the Potomac River in Washington last week after colliding with a U.S. Army helicopter. Army Corps of Engineers Colonel Francis Pera.
The first of the two engines was removed at about 10 o'clock this morning. Shortly after that, about noon, we had the fuselage out of the water. And then about 2:30 this afternoon, we began our salvage operations to begin to bring the wing out of the water.
They say the focus is on the plane, then onto the helicopter. D.C. Assistant Fire Chief Gary Steen with more on all 67 people who died in the crash.
We have positively identified 55 sets of remains. During recovery and salvage operations today, additional human remains were located.
The National Transportation Safety Board is expected to compile a preliminary report within 30 days, although a full investigation could take a year. CBS News Special Report, I'm Matt Piper.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. With the changing weather and the major temperature fluctuations, remember that no ice is safe ice. Our meteorologist Brittany Berlow has more.
Watch out for weak points, like ice shoves or spots along the shoreline that still have currents running under, or dams, inlets, and outlets. Experts say that ice may be good enough to support you in one place and possibly not in another. So check ice depth frequently. And if you do fall into icy waters, remain calm and attempt all measures to get out safely. Bring an ice pick with you and never go out on the ice alone.
A name change is coming to Aspirus Riverview facilities in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding area. Starting in February, locations will now incorporate the city or town name into their titles. The changes will be consistent with the naming pattern of other locations in the organization. Aspirus feels the location-based names will make it more clear for patients. The word Riverview will be dropped from all area Aspirus facilities. Aspirus Riverview Clinic will now be Aspirus Wisconsin Rapids Clinic, Dewey Street. The Aspirus Riverview Therapies will now be Aspirus Outpatient Therapies, Wisconsin Rapids. The Aspirus Riverview Clinic Nakusa will now be Aspirus Nakusa Clinic, and Aspirus Riverview Clinic Adams will now be Aspirus Adams Clinic. Southwest Wisconsin Division President Chris Squire said the new names will be especially helpful to patients who are traveling from outside the area. The simpler, location-specific names will provide clarity. Stickers for the Town of Rome transfer site will be sold in person at the transfer site on February 8th. You will need the new windshield sticker starting on February 12th. It's $20 for the sticker and $10 for additional stickers. You can purchase them now at the Rome Town Hall, Monday through Friday from 8 to 4. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Turnovers kill the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost at home to the Memphis Grizzlies, 132-119. Memphis out-rebounded Milwaukee, 61-36. But that's just half the story. The Bucks let the game slip away in the fourth quarter. Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I mean, when you get down a stretch of games, in a close game, you got to take care of the ball. You know, it's important to make sure that we get a shot on every possession if you want to win a game, and we can't have turnovers down the stretch of a game.
Memphis has now beat Milwaukee the last seven times in a row, dating back to January of 2022, and now the Bucks have to play the Thunder tonight in Oklahoma City. In men's speed skating at the Pettit Ice Center in Milwaukee, Eric Stoltz with a second-place silver medal in the 500-meter. That snapped a streak of 22 wins in competition. NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles arrived in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. That's coming up this Sunday night, kickoff at 5:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Overcast this afternoon with temperatures hovering in the low 30s. Winds are becoming breezy this evening, dragging our overnight lows down to the single digits. Slapping a wind chill on top of that, we're going to be feeling sub-zero, and high temperatures tomorrow only reach the mid-teens. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presume innocent, but since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin-based comedian Eli Pills and Nightlight frequent flyer, musician, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, February 3rd, 2025. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today, we're going to welcome in our friend Mary Schultz. She is the chair of Empty Bowls and Focus. Looking forward to that. Right now, we have with us in studio, Sally Kistner, executive director of Savor the Arts. Sally, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Our friend Eric Britnocker from the Performing Arts Center. Eric, thanks for being here.
Hello, thanks.
And on the phone we have with us Ron DiStefano, co-creator of Bachelors of Broadway. Ron, thank you very much for being here with us.
My pleasure.
Appreciate the time. The way we do these, Ron, I will talk with Sally and Eric after talk with you for a little bit. We had kind of break this up into two parts when we have somebody like you joining us. So we're going to get into the show in a moment. But, Ron, I have somebody like you on the phone. I've got to find out a little bit more about you, and our audience loves this stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of your origin story, if you will, Ron?
Oh, my goodness. Sure. It's a long and twisted story, and I will summarize it as briefly as possible. I went to college for chemistry and ended up in the entertainment industry sort of through an alternate pathway that most people would never take. I sort of took a summer between getting my bachelor's degree and heading towards getting my doctorate and took a little summer adventure job doing small, you know, podunk theater, and I met somebody who sort of changed the entire course of my life, and that person is now my business partner, but at the time, she was a fellow musical theater performer like myself, and we ended up creating, after being friends for nearly a decade, a two-person song and tap dance show called Two on Tap, which actually has played so many venues throughout your area. After getting our experience with that around 2015, she wanted to start a family and sort of get off the road, but she wanted to, you know, not take away performance opportunities from me. So we ended up starting to create shows, and one of the shows that we created was called Shades of Bublé, which is another show that has played so frequently in your area. And then we looked at each other and said, hey, I think we're pretty good at this. So then we started creating these shows, and our latest production is Bachelors of Broadway, which was created in 2022 and is now touring the country.
You saw an opening and I almost need for this in our whether it's theater or what have you. What was it about the early days of this when you're putting together those original shows that told you, yeah, audiences want this, audiences want more of this?
Well, there are kind of two, you know, groups of thought about live concert performances. There's the people who are theatrical and are doing stage shows, Hello Dolly and Dear Evan Hansen. Mm-hmm. And then there are the concert people, the musical acts, the Beatles, the Eagles. And there's not a lot of crossover between sort of that dramatic presentation and that pure music presentation. And we, coming from theater but loving real authentic music, wanted to find something in the middle. And we used our theater sensibilities, and Melissa has always had a really strong draw to real authentic music, not theatricalized pop music and rock music, but real pop and rock music, maybe because she had an older brother who lived through the 70s and 80s. So that's where we sort of found our way in, was being one of the only companies that was creating these shows that were delivering a real authentic musical product, so audiences that are used to live concerts are going to enjoy them, but have a little bit of extra flair, a little bit of choreography, a little bit of production that brings it to the next level.
Ron, I like to ask this question to people, all the creatives I talk to. I'm very curious with your answer, given your history and what you told us before about not really thinking about getting into the entertainment industry when you were young, when you were thinking of a career. Who were some of your influences? Were they late in life? Were they young when they were young and you were always an entertainer? You just didn't know?
Well, you'd have to talk to my parents to
get
that answer. But I think I always, I always enjoyed attention. Actually, that's not exactly true. I was super shy until I was 9 or 10 years old, and then something flipped where I had to do something, some sort of school presentation in front of people, and I kind of heard the applause for the first time and got hooked. I think that's the story for a lot of performers, mm-hmm. where you just get that, you feel that visceral exchange with an audience, and it triggers all those dopamine responses in your brain, and you just chase after it for the rest of your life. That, I guess, was me. But because my family is so strongly rooted in science and math, I mean, my sisters got a master's degree in biology, and my mom was a nurse and created these curriculums all over Florida for pre-medical high school magnets. It just wasn't a viable pathway. We're all artists and we're all musicians, but none of us do it as a career. So much so that my mother, I'm going to have it embroidered on a pillow at some point, but my mother said, National Merit Scholars do not sing and dance for a living. So I proved her wrong, and now she actually works for our company. So there's a very full circle moment there. It all just kind of happened organically. I just went in a direction and then followed my heart, and it took me somewhere else.
We're speaking with Ron Stefano from Bachelors of Broadway. You're going to be coming to town here just shortly. We'll get into the details of that, how you can get tickets, and much, much more. Ron, when it comes to this show, the performances, all that, you touched on this a little bit. You wear a lot of hats, man.
I do. The one I'm wearing the most right now is travel agent, in that when a show is on a tour like this, the amount of logistics that are required, the flights, the luggage, the car rentals, the planning out the best way to get from point A to point B so that everyone is keeping their endurance and strength and health up to be able to sing this show 6 to 8 times a week. You know, when people are in Broadway shows, with the exception of those people who are carrying the show, the leads of the show, most people are on stage over the course of a 2.5-hour show for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that a performer will sing constantly for 90 minutes. So it requires a lot of, almost like a marathon runner. It requires a lot of strength, a lot of endurance, a lot of training. So the biggest job I have right now is supporting them in that, making sure they have the logistics behind them to be able to show up to every audience and give their best. I know in Wisconsin Rapids, we're doing a wonderful student outreach in the afternoon, which, you know, has to be accounted for in terms of the performer's endurance. They're used to having their prime time be in the evening. So when you have a student performance, and usually we do 45-minute presentations, which is a shorter presentation of the show, not the full 90 minutes. But when you have that happening in the afternoon, you have to make sure they're supported and cushioned so that they've gotten a great night's sleep and they're not driving 6 hours into that moment because it's going to be a longer day for them. So, yeah, it's a lot of hats: producer, director, travel agent, choreographer, mental health counselor. I mean, the list goes on and on.
You mentioned the outreach, the student outreach, and we're going to talk with Sally and Eric a little bit more about that. But I'm curious of you and the performers, what that means for you guys to be a part of something like that.
Oh, it's incredible. I just received a batch of photos. The gentleman just did it earlier this week in Harlingen, Texas, actually, down on the southern border. And to see them, they actually did it in a classroom with about 50 choral students surrounding them in an arc. And so it was a very intimate thing. You could see on the faces of these children that their lives were being changed, to see Broadway professionals come to their community, you know, thousands of miles from New York City, and bringing real, authentic Broadway performances into a classroom. It's just, it's the way we're creating the next generation. It's the way we're creating the arts funders of the next generation. Some of these kids might not be professional performers, but they might love the arts enough and they become successful enough in another career that they are then sponsoring the next set of performances in Wisconsin Rapids or putting their company's ad in front of the patrons because they see the value of keeping arts going. It's just so important for us to do this kind of work.
Well said. And you know, we speak to this quite a bit here at WFHR, and when the three of us get together, Eric and Sally and I talk a lot about artists supporting artists and how important that is, especially in Wisconsin, where Wisconsin finished dead last in union funding the arts. It's never been more important to support the arts in this state, and events like this really help us do that. And you hit it on the head. The other part of this too, of inspiring and creating other artists and keeping these things going. I think that you have such a unique perspective to offer as well, because like you said, so many of us, I was seven when I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an actor and everything. For you, you found this a little bit later in life. I think you have maybe even more of a rounded out perspective given that for kids. And another thing too, that the three of us are able to do when we get together and having you here, Ron, really hits this home is, hey, you like the arts. Hey, you like entertainment. Well, maybe you can't sing. Maybe you can't dance. Maybe you can't, but you can still be a part of things. You can still certainly be an artist and be a part of the creative process and everything. We need a lot of people. There's a lot of people like Ron out there wearing a lot of hats to be able to do. There's so many different jobs you can do to be a part of the entertainment universe.
So true. And, you know, not to be crass about it, but yes, there's people who can do props, people backstage, people running the show, but also people writing checks. That is a valuable, valuable part of the arts process. So if you can do that, you are part of the arts creation.
Mm. Have you been to Wisconsin before, Ron?
Oh, so many times.
Yeah.
Every single corner of that amazing state.
I thought so. We're looking forward to having you here. I thought you'd been here before, but I did want to remind you that this time of year, no roller coasters. I'm sorry. The roller coaster's not running right now.
Must have been to my website.
Yes,
I'm a big roller coaster fan. I have my trip to Disneyland planned in a couple weeks, too, so right I'll get my fix in.
Before we let you go, Ron, let's get into just some of the details of this show, what people can expect from Bachelors of Broadway, Gentlemen of the Theater.
Yes, it is a very exciting, high-energy celebration of over now 100 years of music from Broadway. It is celebrating those early shows, Rodgers and Hammerstein, South Pacific, Carousel, moving through the 70s and 80s with our mega musicals, Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis and Miss Saigon, and even touching on some of the contemporary shows that have entered now the zeitgeist. We have songs from Wicked and songs from Dear Evan Hansen that have recently hit the silver screen. So the show is three dashing gentlemen singing this music in brand new arrangements in three-part harmony, backed by an exciting nine-piece live band. It's going to be a top-notch, high-quality, super exciting concert. And you don't even have to be super familiar with Broadway to enjoy it. We say that we put something in for the husbands who got dragged there. So if you hear a song you don't know, we promise you the next one you're going to hear is Can't Take My Eyes Off of You from Jersey Boys. So there's something in there for everybody.
I was going to say, it looks like a lot of thought not only went into the song selections and play selections and everything, but the order of those songs. I thought that was really unique.
That's right. I mean, Melissa and I, the creators of the show, are basically educators first. She's a former dance educator, and being from a family of educators, it's my background as well. You have to change the modality. When you're in front of a group of people, everyone responds in a different way. So you can't do the same thing for more than 8 or 9 minutes in a row. You've got to keep changing it up. So there's a tremendous amount of variety in the show. And we're super proud of what we've done with taking very seemingly traditional songs the audience will know the lyrics and music to. For example, Give My Regards to Broadway, a song written in the early 1900s that people know as this traditional, you know, kind of goofy little march. Well, we've reimagined it as this beautiful, soaring pop treatment. They're going to know the music, but they've never heard it this way before, especially played with this exciting live band.
Cannot thank you enough for the time, Ron. This has been a lot of fun talking with you, getting to know you a little bit more. And we're really looking forward to you and the team coming here to town. Before I let you go, though, as a journalist, I have to ask hard questions from time to time. Ron, do you have a favorite Broadway show or song?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it's a tough question.
It changes. It changes on a day to day basis. I will say, you know what? And I don't want to say I'm embarrassed to say it, but I was so surprised by a recent show I saw on Broadway called And Juliet, like ampersand Juliet. Mm-hmm. For your audience that doesn't know, it's a retelling of the Romeo and Juliet story using contemporary pop music, answering the question: what would have happened if Juliet had woken up and decided not to end her life like her boyfriend Romeo did? Mm-hmm. What happens if she goes on and has a life of her own and sort of, you know, goes the girl power route? It's right. Super fun, super exciting. I'm not normally a huge fan of jukebox musicals, but I went in with no expectations, and I left that theater having had such a great time. So I'd say that's one of my current favorites.
Right on. Great reference, too. And so speaking of artists supporting artists, shows like that and mentioning things like that are only going to help the future of theater, because I think that is about a big part of it, is plays like that and some of the things that the reimagining that they're doing with some of these, bringing in old and new people to theater. And we're going to be bringing young, old. We're going to fill the pack for you, man. Thank you so much for the time, Ron. You guys have a safe trip getting here. We're looking forward to having you in town soon.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Man, was that a great interview. It was a lot of fun. Big thank you to Ron for joining us. The harmonies of them. I'll be honest with you guys. I was prepping for the interview this weekend, and I went down a rabbit hole. And I have to do a lot of work tonight because I didn't prep for other interviews because I was too busy being entertained by these guys. Sally, this is a fantastic show. Can we get into some of the details?
You bet. The show is February 20th. At 7:30 at the PAC, and tickets are $49 for adults, and as usual, $10 for students. You can purchase them online at savorthearts.com or give us a call, 715-424-2787, or stop by and see us, 1040 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
And Sally, this is a great show as it is, but you guys are also offering something even more with it, dinner and a movie, dinner and a show.
Dinner and a show. The meal will be held at the Ridges. Tickets are $26 for that, and we have to shut down ticket sales February 6th. Mm. So you have through Thursday. So give me a call. You purchase those directly through the Arts Council, and you have three options for your meal that you select when you get your tickets.
Thank you for that, Sally. Eric, I wanted to mention with you that the Mead Winter Foundation is sponsoring an outreach opportunity for students in the afternoon of the performance. I imagine the kids are excited about this one.
Yeah, I guess we have a group from Rapid School of Performing Arts coming over, and I would anticipate that there's going to be some student groups joining us as well. You know, we really like these student opportunities. As kind of Ron mentioned, you know, earlier in the interview, that this is an opportunity to kind of change the life and trajectory of some, you know, kids and, you know, what they might be interested in going into. And it's so true that there's a lot of things behind the scenes that take far more than just the performers on stage that we see and grow accustomed to. And so, you know, it's just inspiring that we're able to offer these outreach opportunities here for, you know, students within our community, because you never know where these kids are going to go. And we have students that go through our programs that are successful in managing theaters or successful performers, successful in, like comedy sports improv. Mm-hmm. People are doing this right now today that graduated 10 or 15 years ago. So this influence is great, and we have the opportunity to do that with this show.
We had a chance to talk with Colin Mockery recently on Director's Playhouse, and so much of what Colin talked about is hitting on some of the things you're mentioning there, and how important that is with young people, and how that can just change trajectories. How you just don't know where that spark can start, you know, and whether they stay in the entertainment industry or take those skills and go into this business industry or this one, like the confidence is the same. No matter what industry they go in, they build that confidence. You and things like this are able to help that with these kids.
Yeah, and I think just being able to offer ways to express ourselves as humans is just really important. And we're, you know, giving people the opportunity to see life from somebody else's perspective, just new opportunities. And I think that's just really what it's all about, is being able to create, to kind of be free, and to be artists in our own right, and whatever that means to us. It could be visual, it could be performing, it could be, you know, music, dance. I mean, it spans the range.
Mm-hmm. And as we worry about empathy with kids or just people in general more and more, the arts are such a opening of that and a creation of that in so many ways, among many, many other things. And being a lot of fun. I don't want to skate past that or anything. The arts are a lot of fun. The kids have a lot of fun with these, and they're going to have a great time with this group. This has got to be one of those shows, Sally, that you saw, and you had to have these guys. You had to have them in town here.
I did. I was looking at Broadway because we've had a lot of requests for that, and I love Broadway myself. But I looked at several different groups, and for some reason, I just kept coming back to this one. It just really hit me.
It works out just as you planned, Sally, for the movie Wicked to be huge. And here we have Broadway shows coming in where they're going to be singing a little bit of Wicked. But nicely done by you. I know you planned it that way.
Right, yes.
But it has kind of worked out that way.
Well, I couldn't, you know, I saw Ron DiStefano's name on some of the tech writers, and I'm like, where did I see this name before? And then he mentioned Shades of Buble. Mm. And then I was reminded of how great it is to work with him and his group, because they're so professional and they're so good. Mm. And so Shades of Buble was awesome, and I'm sure that this show is going to be just as good.
Uptown was another one.
Uptown?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
So they've been here a couple different times. He said he played around the area, but, you know, him and his group have played here multiple times.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. They're going to know where to stay. They're going to know where to go. They know that. You know, I think, I'm sorry I haven't thought of this before, Eric. I think about it with the kids so much and everything, and them being influenced and them learning from these artists. I imagine you're able to do that from time to time, too. Learn to pick up different things, be influenced.
Yeah, I soak it in. You know, I mean, you have the ability when you work in this industry to work with just incredibly talented people and people who have done things that we all maybe in some ways aspire to do, or, you know, we think about, you know, our dreams are this or that. And so, you know, you have the opportunity to work right alongside these people, shoulder to shoulder with them. And, like, we're all giants in our own right, even in our own community. Like, you know, I sit next to Sally, and it's like, you know, the work that she does on a day-to-day basis is incredible for the people in our community and the people that come from multiple states away to come see shows like they did last Friday. You know, we have a way to generate local, you know, stimulus in our economy by bringing people in, by these arts programs. We're able to create, you know, just cultural opportunities within our own community. And that stuff's huge beyond what the performers bring to us. You know, we're doing great things just right here in our community as well.
We've got a great show coming up, but we just gave you a great one because you two just nailed it. Nicely done, you guys. Well done. Sally, one more time, let's go over the details of this show and how people can get tickets.
The performance is February 20th on a Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $49 for adults and $10 for students. You can go on SavorTheArts.com to get your tickets, or give us a call, 715-424-2787, or stop by and see us at 1048 Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. We're open Monday through Thursday from 10 to 2:30. I'd also like to mention our sponsors for this show. As mentioned, Mead Witter Foundation is sponsoring the outreach, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And then we have show sponsors WSAW Channel 7. Rapids School of Performing Arts is also sponsoring this. Aaron and G. Herman's Plumbing and Heating. Modern Woodman of America, which is Curtis Langemeyer. And Cobblestone Hotel and Suites, where our performers stay.
Big thank you to all of them. And you can find out more about Bachelors of Broadway by going to their website, bachelorsofbroadway.com. Be sure to read more about Ron at his website, rondistefano.com. And, of course, you can get your tickets and find out more about this season at savorthearts.com. Both of you, thank you so much for the time, and a big thank you to Ron.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up here at WFHR.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. sent. The pins still set by people, swear, and you're tossed out. The ants are coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. We've been reporting on the growing number of people and organizations who have raised their voices asking for increased safety measures at the intersection of Highway 10 and Highway 186. In December, 17-year-old Casey Ramtham was killed at that intersection. Her mother, Amanda Ramtham, has sent a heart-wrenching letter to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. As a mother having to live through her worst nightmare of losing her child, Amanda urges the DOT to put an overpass at the intersection to increase safety. She encourages everyone to reach out to your elected officials to push for this change to happen. Judge Susan Crawford was in Northeast Wisconsin over the weekend, campaigning for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Lisa Hale has more.
She said she would be fair, impartial, and a common-sense justice.
I am running this race because I want to protect the rights of all Wisconsinites. I don't care if you fall on the red side of the political spectrum or the blue side of the spectrum. I'm here fighting for all of our rights.
Crawford is running against former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel. While justices are considered nonpartisan, Crawford does have the support of the Democrats and is considered a liberal. The election is set for April 1st.
Respiratory illnesses are increasing in the state. The Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services says flu hospitalizations are the highest they've been in 7 years. This is especially true for older adults. DHS says it's not too late to get a flu and COVID shot and an RSV vaccination if you're eligible. Everyone should also be following recommendations of washing hands and staying home when you're sick. The Friends of Rapids Music Festival will be back this year. FRM Fest 8 is September 20th at noon in Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a fan of the video game Fortnite and Sabrina Carpenter's music, this might be the most earth-shattering news you've ever heard. So have a seat. The pop star is in talks to have her image featured in the game Fortnite, according to Forbes, which reports the game will use her music and develop a skin in her likeness. Other artists that have been featured in Fortnite include Eminem, Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga, Mariah Carey, and Metallica. I still love watching people do the Fortnite dance. Selma Blair is back to work. The actress is the star of films like Cruel Intentions, The Sweetest Thing, and A Guy Thing, co-wrote by yours truly. Did you really think I was above making a shameless plug? Blair announced in 2018 that she was dealing with multiple sclerosis. According to Variety, the actress has signed on to three new film projects, including Stay Forte, which is the story of the three Israeli hostages taken by Hamas October 7th of last year. No real details were given about her MS, other than the actress says she's feeling much better. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky this evening, some clearing overnight, much colder. A low near 5 above, wind chills in the teens below. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a high in the mid-teens. Snow developing for Wednesday. Even some freezing rain mixed at times, highs in the upper 20s. Current temp is 30.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you've never stayed overnight on a dairy farm, would you consider it? The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association hopes you will and is working to position the state as the nation's agricultural tourism destination.
How can we grow agricultural tourism in the state of Wisconsin? Because all of our neighbors are embracing this and they're supporting agricultural tourism because they know it's an economic engine and it makes a huge impact for every taxpayer in our state.
Sheila Everhart is with the association and says from gathering eggs to corn mazes, ag tourism is on the rise. And overnight farm visits kick off as part of the NFL draft in Green Bay. Want to learn more, volunteer, or try your own ag trip? Go to WIAgTourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with our old friend Luke Mathers. Join us for that and what's worse?
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, February 3rd, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. We'll welcome to our studio our good friend, Mary Schultz, Chair of Empty Bowls and Chair of Focus. Mary, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Appreciate the time. Thanks so much. And we're going to get into the details of the 11th Annual Southwood County Empty Bowls event. We'll talk a little bit about that. But before we do, if you don't mind, Mary, I'd like to get into the history of Empty Bowls and just let the audience know a little bit of where this all started.
Awesome. So this is actually the 34th year of Empty Bowls nationwide.
Yeah.
Yes. So it actually started in 1990 in the state of Michigan with an art teacher who wanted to have his kids give back to the local food pantry, and he wanted to try to find a way to do that. And so he had his kids make bowls. He was an art teacher, so the kids pottered bowls, and then they had an event to provide soup for people that would come to the event, and so it became the Empty Bowls. And from then on, it has grown to actually a global event. So it's everywhere. If you look up Empty Bowls, the logo, you will find it pretty much everywhere now. This is our 11th year in Wood County. Portage County actually beat us to the punch. They've had a number of years before us, but we've been lucky enough to have a group of people willing to keeping the event going for 11 years. And it's growing. We have, which I'll get into later, but we have more restaurants and more things. So it's pretty exciting.
I'm excited to dive right into that with you. I cannot wait. And we'll be certainly, again, getting into the details now. People can be a part of it and everything in a moment. But that it's a beautiful history. It's a really unique history. And like so many of my favorite things, and I think many of the audiences out there, it starts grassroots. It starts from just people, you know, having a thought, having an idea, and it blowing up. Yeah. I think that as a side note to the audience, I hope it is inspirational to people out there who have similar ideas or similar thoughts. And, you know, well, I don't know if anybody would get behind this. I don't know. I imagine it's Empty Bowls started that way. Well, who knows who's going to be enjoying this? Maybe just our local community will. And then look where it is now.
Yeah. It actually goes back to the idea of what one person can do.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and when you look at that, one person had an idea, and now it's a global event.
And the idea of community. Mm-hmm. The idea of looking out for each other.
Giving back. Mm-hmm.
Strangers helping strangers.
Yep.
You know,
yes.
One of the greatest things a human being can be a part of and do. Mm-hmm. And here we are in 2025 with an event like this happening. Mm-hmm. I hope that is as noteworthy to the audience because we need more of this stuff.
Exactly. Especially nowadays. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And Mary, I'm curious, now that we know a little bit more of the history of Empty Bowls, about your history. How did you get involved with this?
Well, I was an employee of the Wisconsin Rapid School District for 35 years as a counselor, and one of my assignments was I was also the homeless coordinator, and so I got hooked in with, at the time, was the Neighborhood Table, which is part of now Focus. And so being a part of the Neighborhood Table, I got involved in a lot of the other activities that were going on. And one of the activities that was going on in town here was the Empty Bowls event that was actually put on by some ladies at the church near where we were serving, actually right across the street from where we were serving our meals on Thursday night. And that group of ladies was looking for helpers, so we as a board decided we're going to help them out. And so I got involved pretty much from the start, working with that group of ladies and helping them. And I actually was just a server and helped out with serving rather than being on the board at the time and the committee to run it. And from there, then we had the ladies from that church decided that they really needed a break and they were getting older and just thought this is a lot for us to do and would somebody else take it over? And at the time, I was the president of Neighborhood Tables, and so we took it over. And since then, it has been a group of us from Focus who help with a lot with some of the other original people from the original committee who decided to still stay on, like Linda Olson and Don Mansell and Mary Jo Zeroth. Some of the people who were instrumental from the very beginning are still helping us out.
Greatly appreciate them, those individuals, and so many others that helped this go and keep it going. And you mentioned Focus and so many of the people, with, whether it's the backpacks or Neighborhood Meet Table or so many other great events that we love and appreciate in our area. And another note, another side note to this too, everybody, is the idea of being on a community board or, you know, being a part of doing the type of work that Mary's doing and everything. We need more individuals to do these things and doing these jobs and the great work that can be done for it. Is noteworthy, and I think we've talked about a lot. I want to remind everybody, too, though, this is also recharging for the soul. Mary, I can't imagine how good being a part of something like this must feel.
Oh, it's awesome, because when the day of the event, I mean, it's a lot of planning. We start planning in October for this event, so it's about a 4 or 5 month, you know, planning stages, but the day of the event is just so exciting. And, you know, when the people come through and they want to help out, and then when we're able to have the money to be able to give back to the various pantries and the backpack programs in our area, it just is so rewarding. And it just, you think it was all worthwhile.
Very well said. Let's go ahead and get into the event. Let's tell everybody, first up, what Empty Bowls is, and then what they can expect with this year's.
All right, so it started off, and so the theme of Empty Bowls is it's empty bowls because somebody's bowl is always empty. And so this is not necessarily a come and eat all you can eat kind of event. It is an event where we really focus on this might be what a person gets for the day. This might be their only meal. And so that's the theme of it. So we have... We've really streamlined it because now this is our third year in this building, our new building.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we've been able to change up to make it run even more smoothly every year we've been in the building. And so it just, it's kind of down to clockwork now. We kind of know what to do and how
Good to
do it and just getting everything done. So the idea is you come and you pick out a bowl that one of our local potters has made. We have some professional potters like Jim Lorbeck and Kathy Vinay. And the Arts Council has made bowls this year, and so they've had potters come and make. But we also have children involved, so our schools are involved in making bowls. And so not only the high school, like Nakusa High School and Port Edwards High School and Lincoln High School and Assumption High School have made bowls, but we also have some of the younger kids making bowls, which is really fun because they might not have the expertise that our professionals do, but they're darn cute. And those bowls, they go just as well as the adult bowls. So you pick out a bowl and you don't get your soup in that bowl. That is a bowl you get to take home and use for treasures that you might have at home or put it in a spot to remind you, you know, that this might be what somebody eats for the day. And then you come through and you get your ticket and you can either eat in or you can take out if you'd like. We also have, as you pass by, you're going to pass by a room that has many, many raffle baskets. We had roughly 80 some last year that people can bid on and try to win a basket, and they are amazing baskets. A number of our places in town here have donated to that. We have gift certificates. We have items that we give away. So just some great, great prizes for people to try to win a basket. And then they come into the kitchen or into the dining area where they are able to select from one of 13 different soups. Mm-hmm. So we have some new restaurants.
13 different soups.
Yes. We have new restaurants this year, which we'll touch on when you get a chance. hands. So then they tell the person at the table what soup they would like. They get their bowl of soup. They get a homemade roll that's made that morning. Mm. So it is still warm. Mm. And then they are escorted to the table, and they're treated like a guest. And so we have a server that will bring them their beverage of choice, and they get a homemade dessert for our wonderful baker, Dawn, who just makes amazing desserts. And so that is the meal. They get a bowl of soup, they get a roll, a homemade dessert, and a beverage for $10. That's the cost of the day, which you can't hardly go anywhere else for $10.
No, no, you can't. No,
and
no.
Get a homemade bowl of soup and mm-hmm. a homemade roll and a homemade cookie.
And not to mention all of that that Mary just very well said. And of course, the bowl that you get to take home and everything, which is awesome. One of a kind thing.
Yes.
There's no other things like this, no matter who made the bowl. All of that being said, you'll feel good. Like I said, this will recharge your soul. You'll feel good knowing you put back in your community. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just at the event or just an hour later. I mean years later. Oh, yeah. When you're looking at that bowl and you're reminded of where it came from, mm-hmm. And knowing that you did some good in your community, mm-hmm. as well as hopefully being reminded of that there is somebody's bowl that is empty out there.
Yes.
It can do both. Yeah. And this is one of the beautiful things about doing good in your community, that it can be fun, it could be adventurous, it could be a unique and cool opportunity and experience, mm-hmm. while also doing some real good and doing some real foundational work in our community. This is a topic that is very passionate to me, and I've been very adamant about it on the airwaves as long as I've been in this area for over 20 years, talking about homelessness, talking about hunger in our communities, and how important it is. It's one of my most passionate topics. Mm. All that being said, I don't think in my lifetime I could come up with half the things this event does. Mm. It's incredible what this is, because there's another part of this too, Mary, that I don't know we get to touch on very often, and we'll get into the businesses with the soups in a second. Mm-hmm. But the kids making these pottery and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was a little kid when on Thanksgiving, my mom took my sister and I to go to a soup kitchen. Cool. And hand out soup and everything. And I remember thinking as a kid, well, shouldn't we be in line? We're poor. we should probably be in line. But it was just as important to her mm-hmm. that we were doing this. And we're mm-hmm. Well, my sister, my brother, we've spent the rest of our lives looking at ways to give back to our communities, looking at ways to impact our communities. Mm-hmm. Those kids making those bowls are having a taste of that right now. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. They're getting an idea that maybe mm-hmm. that starts a spark, or at the very, it reminds them when they're adults, hey, I remember that empty bowls event I was a part of. That felt good. I want to put good into my community. Just more and more opportunities of showing kids empathy, showing kids of working together, of strangers helping strangers. There's so many layers to this event that I don't even think we can necessarily see from their, we can't see it from their eyes.
Oh, exactly. And not only the making of the bowls, but we have even kids that help on the day of the event, mm-hmm. That will be servers or that will clean off tables or do things. And it's really a good thing for them to see as well. Just like when we have people come and serve on Thursday nights for the neighborhood meals, or when people are helping out at the pantry, it really is an eye opener to see, there really are people that need me.
Yeah.
And there may be a time when I may need something, but right now I can do something to help someone else out. And that is such an important topic to teach kids today.
Yeah.
Whether it's making a bowl or coming and cleaning off a table or handing somebody a cookie, whatever it might be, they need to see that there are people that maybe need more even than you might, even mm-hmm. though, like you said, you report one time, I remember receiving a holiday basket after mm-hmm. my second child was born because we mm-hmm. were out of work. Mm-hmm. And, you felt guilty at that point that I needed something, but now I find ways that I can give mm-hmm. back. Mm-hmm. So it comes around,
Yes.
It's always the pass it forward kind of an idea.
We have such a community that is so responsive to these things, just goes above
definitely.
And beyond when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. And we see it all the time, especially when we have so many businesses being a part of this. We talk every year about empty bowls. I don't know if I've seen this many restaurants involved before, Mary. That's pretty cool. Can we go through some of the people joining us for this?
Yeah. So our newest ones are the Purple Basil, which we're excited to have, and Woozles, or Hoozles, however, on the lake. So mm-hmm. those are two of our new new ones, but we still have our true, tried and true Aaron's Weinenstein, our Anchor Bay, the Chatterbox. Do you want me to list all of them?
But please do, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Danny Kaye's, Grace's Family Restaurant, Great Expectations, Jennings, the Junkyard Bar and Grill, Misty's, that has a new name. It's Burgers and, oh goodness, I might forget.
Pancakes and Burgers.
That's it. Pancakes and Burgers. Thank you so much for helping me out there. And Olympic 2 Restaurant, the Sportsman's Bar and Grill. So, I mean, we have, yet we just really, really appreciate all of them. We're still working on one more to try to get before next week. Panera Bread has been great for us. Even though they're in Plover, they provide us with bakery every week that we are able to give out at the pantry. And so we're really trying hard to also get one of their soups.
But
They're more of a commercial base. They have a business, a big business. So they're a little harder to get through than some of the local ones.
They have to go through a lot more corporate to be able to get the okay and stuff. But that's that is a great point to bring up. I appreciate you letting us know some of that, because when it comes to these great establishments that have been in their area forever, and we've gone there many, many times, we appreciate. There is always this is a note to businesses out there, restaurants out there, whether it's this year or next year going forward here and everything. What an amazing opportunity to get your business seen that may have not been seen otherwise. Say you've never been to, this is hard to imagine, but Danny Kaye's has been there forever.
Yes.
But say you've never been to Danny Kaye's. Mm-hmm. Well, you come to Empty Bowls and you taste some of their stuff and you're like, oh, I got to go check that out. That sounds really good. This is marketing 101. Yeah. This is advertising 101. What you can't put a price on that kind of marketing. You are attaching yourself to a nonprofit event that is so popular and well-received, and you and your business are going to be seen with that.
What's neat, too, is we're highlighting each restaurant for a day on Facebook, so they get their own spotlight on Facebook that has their restaurant name and that they're part of the Empty Bowl. So we've already done a couple, so you can go back to our Focus website and see some of the soups we've already highlighted. But, yeah, so we're trying to get their name out as well so that we help them out, because they are helping us out. We couldn't do it without them, obviously.
And that's such a great point and a great thing to a message to remind the audience of. We want you to be a part of these events going forward and everything. So if you're not able to this year, there's always next year and everything. And you're going to want to be a part of this. You really are. And it's only growing. So you get in there while you can. And when it comes to the details of the event itself, is this something that we need to RSVP for anything, Mary? Or?
No, not at all. It's just come in, and we've kind of come up with a really good way so that, although the weather looks great for that Saturday, I've already been checking, and as long as the weather doesn't change too drastically, it looks like a pretty decent day, like around 30 degrees, and the sun is going to be out, so that's ideal for us. But we do have an area for you to wait inside if it is chilly, You just come and get a ticket, and then you wait in line or go look at baskets until your number is called, and then you come and eat. We serve roughly, in the last couple of years, we've been pretty on top of this number, 350 people in less than 3 hours. It's pretty exciting. We keep people moving pretty quickly, and we can serve about 140 at a time. So people aren't rushed, but there's usually not a long wait to wait if you want to get a bowl of soup.
And with a $10 donation to participate, as Mary said earlier, that you are not going to find many things for $10, let alone all of this for that.
And come home with a bowl.
a memento from this. That's pretty darn cool. And this is all coming up Saturday, February 15th at the new Focus location. And that, again, for those that don't know, 2321 West Grand Avenue. Be sure to keep that in mind, not just with this event, but with other events with Focus.
Right. And we serve from 11 until 2. So anytime in there, we have never really run out of soup, although we have run out of some of the soups. So, you know, some of the ones that are maybe more popular flavors that some people want, but we really do have quite a variety. We have everything from clam chowder to a creamy chicken dumpling. We have tomato basils. We've got chili. I mean, I don't think you'll find a soup that you don't like. So there will be soup available. We also do, at the end, if we have soups left, we will sell by the quart. So if we have soups toward the end, you're also willing to take a quart of soup home if you'd like. So
It's pretty cool.
Yes.
And we want to remind everybody you can find out more by going to their Facebook page. It's a great way to keep up to date on things. We'll give you more information before we wrap up. As great as this event is, Mary, I did want to take a moment just for a chance, because we don't get to talk to Focus very often. How are things going with the Focus organization? Is there anything we can bring attention to with that?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I also am involved with two of the food pantries in Portage County, and we are all experiencing the same difficulties right now. Not only are donations down, understandably, but also things from Feeding America, the food that we typically would get from Feeding America, are down as well. So our expenses are up. We used to be able to buy a can of tuna from Feeding America for 19 cents. We can't do that anymore. So even something as simple as our backpack program, which when we took the backpack program over from the school system, as far as putting the backpacks together and ordering around the food, they used to do that. We now have taken that over. We organize them at Focus. We order all the food from Focus. When we started, we had about 53 backpacks. We are now providing 192 backpacks per week. And so the cost of those backpacks has also gone tremendously up. We used to be able to provide food for a weekend for roughly $5 or $6. The cost that we're seeing right now is closer to $18. And so the cost just of the backpack program alone has skyrocketed. If you look at the price of eggs and milk, which we try to give each family, that alone has really escalated our prices for those meals. So we try to continue to look at new recipes that might be a little bit more economical, but we do want to provide something that's hearty and nutritious. So it's not like we're just going to give you mac and cheese and that's it. You know, we want to give you something that's good for the kids that will, you know, get you through a weekend. So the cost of the backpack program alone has gone up. The food prices have gone up. So, you know, we looked at last year's budget and realized, yeah, we were in the red last year because of the cost of food and the lower donations that have come in from some pretty big donors in the past. So that happens. You lose people, or one year you might get a good estate, say, you know, donation. So we are always in need of additional monetary help and food help. I mean, even the businesses that donate to us, theirs have gone down just because they don't have as much to give out either. So it is definitely helpful. I mean, this event raises about $6,500, and we split that between the food pantry and the backpack program for both here and Nakusa schools. Port Edwards is actually part of ours, so we already take care of Port Edwards. So all of the backpack programs in Southwood County are helped with this program. But again, $6,500 isn't going to make the whole difference. So that's kind of where we're at. I mean, as far as volunteers and that kind of thing, we're great. We've got great volunteers in this community who come forward all the time. But yeah, donations are down and food prices are up.
And keep in mind, everybody, that when it comes to donations, they are an investment. They are an investment in the greatest thing we can invest in, our kids, our future. You are helping the economy with this. You are helping almost every facet of life. You don't think of it maybe that way. But if a person has a healthy meal, they're that much. They're able to work more. They're able to do more, which helps with lowering taxes, which helps with our economy. I would like to think I could just reach your soul, reach your heart with this story. But if I can't reach you there, I bet I can reach you on your taxes and your economy and some of those things. We have less people needing these services and everything than we have more and more people working in the workforce and et cetera, et cetera, and working better in the workforce. Your donations is an investment and one of the greatest things we can invest in. We need more and more people, more hands on deck with these events and with Focus going forward. And Mary, if people do want to be a part of events or help out or donate, how can they find out more about Focus or Empty Bowls or all the above?
Well, our Facebook page is a great place to look at, which is the Focus of Southwood County. That's a great place to get some help. Also, calling our office right on West Grand Avenue is another place to call. I'll stop in. I mean, we love it when people stop in and say, hey, I would love to help out. And whether that's coming in just to the pantry sometime during the week or coming on a Thursday night when we have our meal program from 4:45 till 6, people stop in and they're amazed. And my daughter was able to be here over Christmas, and so she came with me for our anniversary meal. And it was awesome because she's like, wow, Mom, I didn't realize. So,
cool.
You know, people really do get their eyes open, and it that good heart feeling when you're done.
The 11th annual Southwood County Empty Bowls event will be held Saturday, February 15th at the new Focus location at 2321 West Grand Avenue, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Find out more by going to their Facebook page and be listening to this station, because we'll be talking about this event and make sure you guys get a good crowd, Mary.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for the time. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up at WFHR.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media Radio. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Up North News with Pat Kreidlow.
Tuesday, we visit live with Jill Underley, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, about her run for re-election, starting with a primary, in just 2 weeks.
Up North News with Pat Kreidlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has paused his plans to implement steep tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada for at least a month after talks with the leaders of both countries. Our Stacey Lynn is at the White House.
Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has promised more cooperation on the border. That includes nearly 10,000 frontline personnel, new choppers, and technology.
A possible purge at the FBI. There's a deadline tomorrow for the FBI to turn over to the Department of Justice names of agents for potential actions against them for working on January 6th cases. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
This sends a message to be mindful of potential political criticisms coming down the road to new cases you undertake has a real chilling effect on agents and employees.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem was in New Orleans ahead of Sunday's Super Bowl matchup.
What I'm going to ask is everybody respect your law enforcement officers, that you respect public safety. We are a nation of laws.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Join us for the next Midday Magazine. In part one, we welcome the